What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another Pixelated Thoughts episode. We have myself, Jack, aka Josh. Josh, aka Jack, doesn't matter.
Lovely.
We have my billboard, Brad. and we have Chibi. And tonight's guest is my friend Corey, who has a YouTube page called Paranormal Anomaly. He is a paranormal investigator. Corey, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us what you do.
Yeah, my name is Corey Kern. I'm a paranormal investigator. I've been investigating the paranormal for about, off and on, about 11 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it kind of started throughout high school. I used to watch Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters with my sister, my dad, and that's kind of where the skeptic in me came out. And I really wanted to go see for myself because that's, I don't know, it just something told me, like, go see for yourself. See if this is real. See if this is just for entertainment purposes. And yeah, I started going to like graveyards and stuff like that with my sister and some friends, and kind of took off from there. I had a very interesting experience not long after going to a couple of those graveyards. They were over in Alton, Illinois, and if you know a little bit about Alton, Illinois' history, they have a lot of limestone, a lot of running water, and apparently that is a conduit for paranormal activity.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that whole town there is pretty haunted. There's about four or five pretty well-known locations there, and we went to a couple of those, and yeah, it was the first and last time I've had a experience with a shadow man.
Interesting.
Oh.
So yeah, that was interesting. We can talk about that a little later if you want.
Yeah. Definitely want to hear that. Definitely want to hear that. So your YouTube page, how long has that been a thing for you? How'd you come up with the name?
We started it last year. We kind of played with a couple of names and stuff and searched on there to see if they had already been taken up. And, you know, Anomaly kind of stuck out to me because it was kind of like a, you know, a one that kind of stands out. And then, like I said, the name wasn't taken, so I was like, it's got a good ring to it.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. And yeah, that's kind of how we came up with the name.
Nice. Now, you travel the U.S. to visit different sites that have been known to be haunted or have some kind of activity that can't be explained. How do you come up with deciding where you're going to go? How do you plan out what you're going to do when you get there and stuff like that?
We try to see when everybody's available. We go and we watch other investigators and such and see what kind of activity that they're getting. If it's something recent and, you know, the activity seems to have ramped up beforehand, we're like, okay, this might be a good time to go to this place. So let's see when the next available date is. Let's get everybody together and then let's just go. And yeah, there's not really a specific thing. We like to go to these big name ones. Because if there's not really anything going on there, we want to be the first ones to kind of say this place isn't really haunted, or yes, this place is really haunted. Yeah.
So when you get to these places, how do you really determine if it is, you know, what it is?
Yeah, so we have a few different things that we do. We do something called an Estes method, which is sight and sound deprivation. We will use headphones, such as the ones I have on now. We'll plug them into what's called a spirit box. And if you're not sure how a spirit box works, it's basically just a little miniature radio, and it runs through all of the channels. And it goes so fast that, you know you're not really getting a radio station because it goes through all of them so quickly. You'll hear words and phrases come out of it. And then as you hear those, you just say it out loud. You don't know what questions are being asked. You don't know if anybody's moving around. You can't read their lips because you have a blindfold on as well. And you just say the first thing that comes to mind. And when stuff starts making sense to the questions you're asking, it's kind of like, I don't know how to explain that because I know you can't hear me. I know you don't know what questions I asked, and I know you can't see me. So there's that. And we have a couple other things as well that they can pick up on electromagnetic frequencies, such as an EMF reader or even a REM pod, which a REM pod is, let me show you here.
Yes.
Yeah, show.
Equipment.
I kept it close by just in case. But this is a REM pod.
Oh.
So what this does is once you turn it on, it creates like a force field around here. And once you break that plane, it'll let me know and it'll tell me if you're on this side, this side, this side, this side, or if you're right on top of it, that one will go off. And it makes quite a bit of noise, so it definitely will grab your attention.
Nice. Do you have other equipment with you nearby?
Yeah.
I want to see one of y'all sit and get blindfolded up and so, would y'all do it? Brad, Chibi, would you guys ever go ghost hunting?
I definitely would, because like I don't know if you know this about me, Jack, but I love watching like basically people go ghost hunting like on YouTube and stuff. Yeah. I only really watch oh my god, like what's his name? They're two guys who usually do like history commentary, but they actually deviated to ghost hunting recently. It's like Shane and what's his name? They're like from
From
BuzzFeed. They're from BuzzFeed.
Oh, BuzzFeed. Okay. Yeah, I know they have their own show.
And they're hilarious. I love like the comedic part, but like seeing them try to ghost hunt is like the funniest thing in this world. Because one of them is like the biggest skeptics known to man, and the other is just like a true believer. So having that discrepancy is hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely I would try it, but I'd be terrified.
I would.
That's and that's good content, really. It is. It's just to be terrified and to do the stuff that terrifies you. So this is an EMF reader. You've probably seen this in Phasmophobia.
Yep.
It's like everybody's favorite tool. I used this at Villisca recently. In our Villisca episode, that house in Iowa has no electricity in it. We asked the owner the next morning, would there be any reason why we would get EMF activity in this part of the house? And he says no. He said, I've had electricians come out and go through the entire house, and there's no electricity in the house. So what happened was, is I felt like a weird, like static, like a cold static that just like was sat on my back. So I asked for the EMF reader, and I put it behind me, and it just starts jumping up to, and this is like 20 plus milligauss, which your human body does not give off that much EMF. I mean, it could give off a little bit, but not nearly that much. So that really kind of persuaded me that there was something with me at that time. Something we used recently at the prison, and this thing is crazy. Ooh. I mean, this thing could pick up a mouse fart like hundreds of yards away. It's so sensitive, this microphone, and it's a 360-degree microphone. It is a Zoom mic, an H3. We use this down in the prison, so we each took a turn down there. I don't want to give too much away, but I'll tell you about this part. So we each took about 20 minutes down there in the dungeon in gym pop housing. And we sat down there with nothing but that microphone. I had my guys wear blindfold and like headphones, like just like this. You just plug it into the microphone and that's all you hear. You just hear stuff. You don't see what's going on. You can only hear. We turned all the lights off and just completely left that person in the building by themselves. So I have not reviewed that footage yet to see what was going on. We put an EMF reader in there, so if it jumped, you know, maybe they were somebody next to him. I don't know yet. Nice. It'll be interesting to see that when we review it.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's. I know you've asked me to go on one. I think the one I'd be really interested in joining in on is that Conjuring one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's definitely a big one. It's a huge jump. If you've never done it before, but you know what, it's definitely an experience I think a lot of people would enjoy, especially if they're big time ghost hunting fans.
Yeah.
Sound like Jack, I'll live through you, do it.
I'll live stream it.
There you go.
I don't know how, but I guess my phone.
Yeah, you can hear
Mean, some of those places are really tough to get a good signal. Some of them are in kind of rural areas. I know we tried that a couple of times. Yeah, we tried that a couple of times, and it just, like, it would stop halfway through or something. And again, I don't know if anything was to blame for that or if it just didn't have good reception out there.
Yeah.
The ghost was like, I'm shy, please.
Yeah. Right. No recording.
So of all of the places you've visited so far, do you have one that you favor?
Probably Villisca, because that one just kind of caught us off guard. Like, we didn't get any activity from about 10 I don't know, till about almost 3 a.m. So we were almost ready to just call it a night. And it was 3 a.m. and we're like, you know what? We haven't swept with EMF yet. Let's just do it and see what happens. So we went back in and all of a sudden I was getting EMF reads. And it was weird because it was like it kept wanting to follow me. So anytime I would turn around, I would see it go for a little bit and it would stop. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And I just turned it behind me without turning my body. And I was like, oh, gotcha.
Oh, man.
So, I kind of felt like maybe it might have been like a child. It was very playful type kind of behavior, it seemed like.
Gosh, it could be. Do you guys usually stay like the whole night, or like what hours do you usually like, you know, try to get information?
Whatever they allow us to do. So if they have like a full overnight where they have, you know, six to six, like a 12 hour, whichever, the longest we can do there, so we can get the most activity and the most footage on camera for everybody, our viewers and such.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like Eastern State Penitentiary allows you to do like 6 to 6 or something like that.
Yeah, and they have a couple of different packages and stuff that they offer on the websites and all that. So I usually go on there and browse a little bit and we see how much these are. And sometimes we're like, okay, we can do this place and then this place the next day. So...
Now, of the ones you visited, is there a favorite in terms of story?
I want to say probably the penitentiary, honestly, because it has so many.
Yeah.
I mean, the Times Magazine called it the bloodiest 47 acres in America. And for that reason, there were so many riots there. There was always somebody getting killed or whatever. But the punishment that they had for the prisoners was just... It was insane. They would beat them for absolutely no reason. Some of those guys, when they would get out of prison, they would get offered to come back and work there. And they would see those guys that used to bully them in prison. And now they're the guard.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, you remember me? Yeah. So there's a lot of that going on there. There's a couple of love stories in there. A couple of prisoners who were, you know, boyfriends. And one guy was actually he made death row because he killed another inmate, and the boyfriend didn't want him to die by himself. So he tried to kill his, one of his cellmates, so that he could go into death row and be with him as well. Yeah. So that was another interesting story. And, and I will say that they are huge fans of Johnny Cash there. We were told that by the guide, and we're like, well, let's give it a try. So we started singing a couple Johnny Cash songs, and sure enough, we started getting REM pod activity and EMF activity, and it was pretty quiet before that.
Oh, that's
so
kinda crazy.
That was really interesting that they responded so well to that.
Yeah. Now they say, like you brought up 3 o'clock was when events started at the Villisca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now is it. Is it accurate when people talk about 3 o'clock, 3:10, 3:12 being the witching hour and all that?
The witching hour. Yeah, and it's so weird that it happens that way, too. It seems like there is activity that does happen within those hours, like 3 a.m. and past that. But it's also happened before then, too. So I don't want to chalk it up to only 3 a.m. and on is when you're going to get activity. But it seems to spike a little bit more around then.
Yeah. I used to have issues where I would always wake up in the middle of the night, and every time I wake up, the clock is always 3:10.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. Duh, hey. You're gonna age real quick.
Yeah, that might be a sign for you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a good sign.
Yeah.
I'll accept the friendly.
Actually, with that, so this is like a question, because people always talk about like if they go to like they're afraid if they go to, you know, these haunted places that like ghosts or spirits might follow them back. Have you ever had that fear, or like have you kind of heard that?
We've heard that. We've tested out a couple of different things, and myself nor have anybody that I've met has had anything follow them home. So, I'm not too worried about it. Mm-hmm. If it happens, I guess it happens. It kind of comes with the territory. Yeah, but and there's ways to get rid of it too. If you do get an attachment, there's a few different ways. But also, you know, a little pre-ritual thing will always kind of help you with protection and things like that. But we haven't really had to do that. Like I said, we experiment. Mm-hmm. So there's some places we will do it, some places we won't, and just to kind of see what happens. So that's fair. When we tell people, you know, this is. this is what we've experienced when we do this. They kind of have an idea, because a lot of people, they don't have an idea, a clue as to how any of this works. And a lot of it is just really unknown. It's just theoretical and and just kind of guessing along the way. And it's mostly just shared experiences.
That's cool. Yeah, it's so there are a lot of people out there that speculate and they try to debunk and you know, there's science, and you know, I've always believed that, you know, I think you have to have an open mind when you get into stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can't be too closed minded about it, or you know, of course you're never gonna experience something because you know, you don't open yourself to it.
Exactly.
So
I mean, explain Ghostbusters. I mean, that's really the number one piece for me.
how do you not necessarily combat it, but how do you handle that when you face it?
Well, and a lot of those people, like when you talk to them and stuff, they've never been out and tried any of this for themselves, or have, you know, been somewhere where they could be susceptible to an experience. And I try to challenge them. I offer, you know, if you would like to come with us to a place that is known to be haunted, you know, not just go in your basement or somebody else's house and just start asking questions. You know, come with us, see for yourself. If you want to try this out and debunk anything that you can. I like people that are somewhat skeptical because they can rationalize things that happen. So I do appreciate those that can come out and say, hey, this is why this is happening.
Yeah.
So, and I always offer them, if you want to, you know, go over my content or anything like that, if you think you can debunk any of the things that happen there, I'll try to tell you all the information I can with what I know about the building and the location. And if you can debunk it for me, that, I mean, that would be great, just to have somebody. But as long as they're using logic and not not just saying stuff to say stuff. So.
And honestly, that might actually be a really cool opportunity for you to come up with like a follow-up YouTube video.
Yeah.
For each location.
Will you fight the other person? Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right. I have a friend I used to hang out with a long time ago, and she always experienced events and stuff like that. And she told me to kind of like go along with what Chibi was talking about with the fear of getting an attached spirit or something like that, whether it's good or bad. She told me the one thing you can do, and you can tell me if this is something you've heard too, but she told me you open the door of your house and you say you're not welcome here, and then you shut it.
I feel like I've heard something like that. Yeah.
And that's good practice too, is to say, you know, even when you leave a location, you just say, hey, I'll see you later, or things. And that was something that,
so you end it.
Yeah. So you kind of close that door for them, so they don't have a reason to keep following you. Cause when you're there, you're like, yeah, you can follow me to this spot, this spot, this spot, this spot. But it's like, when you go to leave, then it's like, okay, you know, I'll see you next time. Not like you can't follow me, or like you try to tell it what to do. Because, you know, if you think about it, they were people too once, and some of them might be, you know, like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want. And then you don't know. You don't know. But I'll even say that Jason Hawes from Ghost Hunters, he's been doing this for over 30 years, never once had an attachment, never once had anything follow him home. So I'm not super worried about it right now.
Yeah.
But like I said, if something happens, and it happens, and you all will get to see the experience for yourself as well.
Yeah.
Because I will definitely share that with everybody, so they can kind of see what to do in case something like that does happen.
Yeah. What would you say is your wildest story?
Oh, I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
Well, it was probably the Shadow Man one.
Okay, let's hear it. Yeah, come on, details.
Yeah, this was about 11 years ago. I was sleeping in my parents' basement. Like I said, I used to go out to the graveyards and all this stuff too. And me and my girlfriend were sleeping at the time, and I was out. There had been a storm that came through, so it kind of knocked the power out for a little bit. So all my lights were already off. And I kind of felt her shaking my arm. So as she did that, I opened my eyes, and probably about 7 feet from me to my right, there was about this tall shadow figure all the way to the ceiling. Oh, and my first thought wasn't, you know, it's a ghost or anything like that. It was somebody broke into the house. Oh, like that is a huge guy like that. Yeah. It was 7 foot tall, and he was sitting there, and you could see his shoulders going up and down, and it scared shit out of me. Yeah, I didn't know what to do, so I kind of froze there for a minute, and then I realized that I couldn't move. I had sleep paralysis.
Yeah,
I had like a sleep paralysis. That's never happened to me before that, and it's never happened to me again since then. But I could not move. I tried to sit up, and I realized like I could barely move my head, so I just kind of turned and I just watched it, and we just stared at each other for a good couple of minutes, and I still feel her shaking my arm just like next to me.
She saw it too.
She saw it, and that's why she woke me up.
Okay, that's good, because then it's like, you know, it's both of you witnessing.
Exactly. And I didn't want to say anything to her to scare her. So as I seen that, you know, I tried to get up and turn the light on to see if it was just something casting a shadow or something, and my eyes were just messing with me because I just woke up. But eventually I was able to get my composure and sit up, get off the bed, walk to the light and try to pull the chain down, and the string snapped. So I'm like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So my heart's like beating out of my chest, and I'm sweating there, and I have to look up, take my eyes off of it for a second so I could see where the chain is to pull that little piece of chain that was still left next to the light. And as I did that, my door kind of swayed a little bit. I saw something move so quick. I couldn't turn my head fast enough to see what it was. But the shadow was in front of me was gone. I looked. The double doors were closed. The back door was locked. So I'm like trying to freak out. I'm trying to process everything. How does this happen? How does this work? How does any of this go?
Yeah.
So open the double doors, and you know, I check the door. It's definitely locked. The dogs are like just sleeping upstairs. So I'm like, hey, you guys are doing your job. Come down here and see what's going on. And of course they were kind of hesitant to come into the room for a second. And somehow I talked them into coming in, and they start sniffing that spot. And this time my girlfriend's ready to leave. She's had enough. She's ready to leave. She's like, oh, she can't talk still. She's still freaking out. And, you know, I turned and I asked her, I said, what did you see? Because I didn't want to tell her what I saw what first.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I'm not crazy. So I was like, what did you see? And she said she saw like something white that was hovered over me. And as soon as I woke up, that disappeared. And she saw the shadow figure. And that's what really freaked her out. And yeah, I was like, okay, good. So we're on the same page with that.
Yeah. Like, I'm not crazy.
I didn't just see this there. Right. And yeah, I was ready. I didn't even stay the rest of the night there myself. Like I couldn't process that.
Oh, yeah. Same. I'd have been like, all right, that's
okay. I've never had an experience like that in my life. And I have not seen a shadow figure since then. And I've been to plenty of locations where there would be said shadow figures there. Maybe that's just my luck. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to show me unless they feel like they want to, and they know they're not going to get caught on camera.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The house that you were in, was there any history to it?
I was going to ask that too.
It's a fairly new house.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood was still pretty new as well. So I don't know if the land they built the houses on had any history.
That's what I was gonna say.
Sometimes that'll do it too.
That's something. Yeah,
with my house growing up,
because I know in the state of Missouri there was a lot of either Civil War or like Native American
burial
grounds and stuff too. So there's no telling if there was something there beforehand. Like I said, I never experienced anything after that in that same house. So I don't know. We don't live there anymore. My parents don't live there anymore. They live, you know, somewhere else now. But and interesting enough, I've had one experience there as well. So, and it was when I first got my spirit box for Christmas. I tried it right there in the living room in front of all of them. And there was a doctor that had lived there before, and I think he passed away from cancer. And he loved that house and everything, and we ask all the time, like, are you here? And it's something, usually like something on the spirit box. And it was like, of course he is. And yeah, that was enough for my sister. My parents, like, be like, oh, okay, all right.
The spirit box came up. Yeah. Something it said, of course he is.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. It came right through the spirit box when I asked, you know, is he here or whatever? And but yeah, like, yep, that's all I needed to hear.
No, those are crazy. I don't know if I have any experiences. Brad, Chibi, do you, any of you?
I do. When I was much younger, I had what I believe was an experience. It might not have been, it may have been a coincidence or someone messing with me, but
well, before you say it, your wife telling you to get out is not an experience.
Like I said, this was when I was much younger.
Oh, girlfriend, mom, that's what it is.
it was a house that we lived in for a few years. I would have probably been in like sixth grade, so like I was 12 or so. So my older sister stated that she was hearing things at night. Like, she would hear like a specific drawer, cause she could hear what was in the drawer, but like a drawer would open in the, we all shared a bathroom in the main hallway. She could hear that drawer move in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Well, there was a hanging plant in the hallway at the end of the hallway that there was a hanging plant that had two hooks, and the rope and then the plant. Well, I was like, I'm just curious. So I went and I adjusted both of the hooks on the plant to face one direction. And the next time that my sister said something about, she was like, I think the house is haunted. There's like things happening in the middle of the night. I went and looked at those hooks and they were both facing the opposite direction. Now, I never told anyone that I moved those hooks. Mm-hmm. Now, someone may have been like, those hooks, you know, should be facing. I don't know that. I'm sure my older brother has OCD or something. So he may have sought that, but I never said anything to anybody about it.
Yeah.
And they were changed. And I was just like, okay, that's a little
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creepy. Now, the house that I lived in the longest, my grandparents owned, and I spent most of my teenage years and then into actually this first years of my marriage, we actually lived in my grandparents' house, and they built it up over the last 20 years. So there was a second story, and me and my wife lived in the second story. My grandfather actually died in that house. He had a heart attack, and I'm pretty sure it's mostly like air pressure and stuff moving like doors and, you know, making things creak and whatnot.
Right.
But there's been several moments in that house where it's just like, I just question myself. I'm like, is it actually him or not?
Yeah,
it could be. It could be. Because what I've grown to learn is that there is always someone with you. Usually a relative, a family member, somebody is watching over you and your family. They'll jump from each to one of you and just to watch over you, take turns watching over you guys. So I have learned that. I don't know who's watching me specifically, one of my family members, but that'd be cool if I find out one day. You know, and when I watched the Conjuring series for Sam and Colby, and if you haven't seen that yet, it is very interesting to watch that whole thing beginning to end, all four parts. You'll learn a lot about the paranormal and things like that, especially with Cody and Satori. So they can do something very interesting, which, you know, it's caused a lot of animosity in the paranormal community with, you know, people saying they're copying the Fox sisters and things like that. But there was a lot of differences between what they do and what the Fox sisters did. The Fox sisters, actually, they would do like this knocking sound with their foot, or they would pop a ankle or a knee or something to where it would sound like they were tapping and communicating with somebody. And they would only do it at nighttime. They would only do it with a long dress on so you couldn't see their feet. And they would only do it around certain people too. So, and that was the difference. Cody and Satori can do this on command. Doesn't matter what the surface is, day or night. And they tried saying it was like the toe popping thing. And I was like, they had the camera on the guy's feet the whole time. And all these YouTubers are coming out making personal videos backing their ability to do this right in front of them. And I'm like, I don't think these people are going to do that. You know, like Satori is the daughter of the guy from Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
That's his daughter. Like, okay. She's not going to, I don't think she would jeopardize the reputation of her father, especially when they've been on Ghost Hunters mm-hmm. several times as well. Now, Cody has been able to do this in the past where, you know, when they do, he's able to communicate via knocking, which is not uncommon for some investigators. Some of them prefer to make noise to try to communicate with stuff. I've seen Sam and Colby do it at the Queen Mary where they knocked on the wall and they were getting knocks back. And there's nothing on the other side of that wall. There's no room on the other side of that wall. So it wasn't somebody else doing it. Yeah, there was just it was a very interesting series. If you guys get an opportunity to watch that.
I might have to. That sounds pretty neat.
Chibi, have you ever had any experiences?
I want to say yes, but it also could maybe be coincidence. There's one thing I will never understand. So, you know, let me know your opinion on this one. So my childhood house was like built, we supposedly think on burial grounds, because not only like have I had a lot of stuff growing up like happen, but my neighbor down the street, like I'm like literally down the street, had very similar things happen to her as well. And it's always been a lot of like sounds. So the one that always sticks out to me the most was one time, this was when I was in high school, we had maybe lived in the house for like 5 years, and I've always felt weird about certain spots in the room. So I'm a very like intuitive person, and there's just certain like places, like there's this one room in my house that I would never go to. It was like a spare bedroom. I would run right by it just because I just didn't like the feeling. Well, I remember one particular time we had come back from school, and I had messaged my dad like, hey, I'm going to grab something from the house. Are you home? And he's like, no, I'm at the store. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to go grab something really quick with my friend. And we had went into the house really quick. She went to the bathroom, and I did my little run down the hallway past the room because I hated it. And as I'm like running past the room, I hear like my dad has a very specific cough. He like clears his throat because of the allergies. And I heard it as clear as day. Like right around the corner, like in the kitchen. And I'm like running like through the hallway. And I'm like, Dad, like, what are you doing? I didn't know you were home. I like go around the corner and I stand there and I'm like, Dad, like, where you at? Like looking. And then my friend, like she had used the bathroom and she was coming back too. And she's like, oh, is your dad here? Like, I heard him. And I was like, I don't see him.
Oh, no.
And I was like, all right, we're time to go. Because we always joked that my house was like haunted just because of she would feel the same thing. My mom would get creeped out from like every now and then. We would just over in general, just hear stuff, but we'd always ignore it. One of those things where I'm like, it must be nothing. But that was the one thing I never could explain, was it was like as clear as day. I had heard it.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And what we would call that is a mimic.
Yeah. Mimic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had experience with that at Villisca as well. During an Estes method, Alex was asking the questions, and some voice came through and said, who is speaking? Heard. And I said it out loud, and Alex said Alex back to us, and I heard his voice through the headphones.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. You say that,
and that scared. I've never pulled out of an Estes method ever, and that like worried me so much because it sounded like he was in my ear.
Yeah, and it's like throws you off. You're like,
it does, especially when he's sitting right there, and, and I have this on. I can't hear him. I know I can't hear him.
Oh, yeah, man, that's that gave crazy. Me chill.
I thought I had malfunction or something.
That's how I felt too.
Yeah.
I was just like, did I hear that wrong? But it was like somebody else was also there to like back me up. So again, like you were saying earlier, like
it really solidifies it when somebody else experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I guess the only experience I've ever had is the waking up at 3:10.
That's definitely very odd, though, if it's consistently.
But not only that, I've also woken up to what I thought was somebody like saying my name.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had anything after that once I'm awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that I can never explain.
I will say that. So that there was one night. Now this was totally explained because my dad explained to me later. I was spending the night at my dad's house one weekend, and in the middle of the night, I went to go use the bathroom, and when I use the bathroom at night, I typically don't turn on the lights just because they're really bright. So I'm in the bathroom in the dark by myself, and I hear like chanting monks. It's just like, it's like, oh, whoa, whoa. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what is going on? Because everyone's asleep in the house. And I'm like, well, like, what is going on? It's, so I was like paralyzed sitting on the toilet. I was like, I don't know where to go. Well,
at least you're in the right spot to shit yourself. So
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It lubricated the process. And so like I flushed a toilet and just sprinted back to my bedroom and just hid in bed until I fell asleep. And I'm like, Dad, did you hear like any weird chanting or
monks
like,
in
like, yeah, I was like, did you hear anything weird last night? And he's like, oh, I go to sleep to monk chants. And I'm like, what kind of normal person does this? And why wouldn't you tell me about it?
Yeah, right. You should probably warn everybody that you're living with.
Yeah, I just host a cult in the basement.
No, yeah.
But I was like, someone's being abducted to my house. Like, this, like the aliens are here.
They finally come for me after all this time.
Man. Now, I every once in a while, like when I'm, especially after a horror film that's really good, or if I watch some paranormal stuff, I do the whole shadow monster thing. So I hit the light in every next section I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I
definitely would.
So Corey, we played a lot of ghost hunting video games.
Yeah.
How accurate do you feel they are compared to the real thing?
I would say Phasmophobia might be the closest thing in terms of how the equipment stuff mm-hmm. works.
Yeah.
Obviously nothing comes after you when you're there, nothing tries to kill you, but
That's good.
You might get some flickering of lights, you might, you'll have your EMF going off or one of the devices and stuff, and you will catch EVPs, you will catch voices and things like that. Like I caught one on a trail camera, and what was weird to me is that when we would talk in that same room and in front of that trail cameras, our voices would be very muffled, it would sound kind of distorted a little bit. But that voice at Villisca was so clear, and I wasn't the one that caught it. It was Alex when he was reviewing. He goes, I immediately turned my computer off, and he's like, that scared me more than anything. He goes, I played it back one time just to be sure I heard what I heard. He goes, I was done reviewing for the night. He's like, I was waiting till the sun came up. He's like, I was not going to sit there in the dark and keep reviewing when I heard that voice. Because it was like a whisper, and it said that it liked me, and he couldn't remember who walked into the room first. Well, he had already walked in and out, and it was me that went in there last. And as I came out, it said it liked me. And not long after that, we're sitting on that chair, and I feel that cold static on my back.
Oh, yeah. And he's just massaging your back, bro.
Yeah, it was a cold static, and I'll never forget that feeling. And oddly enough, we had a friend reach out to us not long after that and said that he had a very similar feeling. He had no idea that that happened to us. We weren't live streaming anything. So there's no way he could have known what was going on with us or what I had felt.
Right.
But he had a very similar feeling and he told us about it. And that was very interesting because it's like, well, what are they capable of doing, if they're able to go through a phone or a screen or something and travel to someone else? It's hard to fathom that.
Yeah, man, I don't know what I'd do if I had like, you say phone or something like that. It started text mm-hmm. messaging me some shit.
I'm actually crying.
Yeah. No, he just had that. He had the same feeling. Like he felt the cold static on himself. Yeah. And he said it was just weird. He said he just kind of shook it off. But yeah, he said it wasn't normal. He'd never felt that way before.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure what to tell him about that. I was just like, okay, that's weird. Me too. Like, I don't know if it went to say hi to you or something. Hi to you from me. I don't know.
So there are a lot of ghost hunting, paranormal investigation TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
The top two probably are what, Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Now, what are your thoughts on those shows now that you've been doing it on your own?
So I used to make fun of them all the time when they would go into a room and say, "Oh, I feel this or I feel that," and you know, I didn't really understand that, and I was like, "Why do they keep saying that? Like, what do you feel exactly? I wonder what it is that they feel." Well, I'll tell you, some of these places now I do know, and you'll even see me doing it during an Estes method at Villisca too. In that same episode, I can feel when something was next to me, and I say something, and I tell my guys the same thing. I was like, if you feel anything, see anything while you're under, say it out loud so we can, you know, document it for the camera and everything, especially if there's stuff around you going off when you're describing the feeling. So that's how we kind of, you know, put all this evidence together and say, okay, this is what it could be, because we have multiple things going off at once. This person's blindfolded, you know, sight and sound deprivated, so they have no idea what's going on around them. I can't hear the questions are asked. I can't see anything. And there's an EMF, like two EMF readers going off next to me. And I'm saying, okay, I can feel something. And it's usually like right here. If I get a really bad feeling here, I know that, you know, there's something there that doesn't want me there.
Right.
And I try to either continue finishing what we're doing and see what happens. Like I said, we do a lot of experimenting with stuff like this. So I'm like, is this my warning sign?
Right, right.
Let's push it a little further and see if that's what it was, or if it's just telling me, hey, there's something that's negative around you. So that's how we kind of determine the feeling thing like that. But yeah, for the most part, I've never heard anybody else that they've been to any of these location hosts.
Yeah.
They've never said that these guys have faked anything or staged anything. It's nothing like that. Now, their character is a little different. They have told me some things about some of their characters, but not anything when it comes to the job or the profession itself. They're very professional. They're true to their word. They don't fake anything. So, right. I do appreciate that about them, because it is hard to be taken serious about this stuff when people haven't had experiences or are open to them and they just see these things and just shout stuff out and, you know, just to say things.
Right. Right. You, when doing these, have you ever felt threatened?
Yeah, I mean, like the feelings you get in your stomach there, you kind of get a little nauseous from it, or, you know, when we're doing some of these experiments, you get like a really bad headache, and that's normal because of the stuff we're doing. And I think it's mostly because of the loud noise that's constantly just going through your ear at a time. That's enough to give anybody a headache. So I chalk a lot of it up to that.
Yeah.
But the gut feeling, that's something new to me. I've never really been known to kind of go for that feeling until I started doing the paranormal stuff. But another weird thing that kind of happened to me at Malvern, and it really amped up at Malvern, is when I was doing the Estes method, I was able to see lights. It's not like a light, but I can see colors within darkness. And it's really strange. It's really strange.
Mm-hmm.
But I can time it perfectly to when they were walking past me in front of me to with the EMF reader. So every time I saw something move in front of me, I would move my hand and then this would go off. Almost. I was like 85% accurate with it. And that's why they're like, okay, maybe he does see stuff. So if he's able to sit there and move his hand every time and then that goes along with it, it's got to be something. So you'll see that in this next episode when we drop that one here coming up.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what about objects? Have you ever seen anything moved, thrown?
I haven't seen anything move, but when we were at Lemp Mansion, there was a little stuffed pig that was upstairs and it was sitting in a chair, and we all went downstairs, and then when we came back upstairs it was gone, and it was in a room that was locked.
Hell no.
So it was in whose room was it? It was in Faded's room.
Yeah,
if you remember Faded. Yeah, she went with us as well, and she went up into one of the rooms, and this little stuffed pig was in her room at the table, and that room was locked. She was the only one that had a key. So we were all together like the whole time. And that's the only time I've ever noticed anything being moved. I would love to see something go flying across the room. I would love to see that. I've seen You know, other investigators go to the Sally House, and they've seen stuff tumble down. It's in Atchison, Kansas.
Okay.
And they have like a bouncy ball or something comes rolling down there, and like an eight ball comes rolling down the stairs, and yeah, and they're all sitting at the table down there in the kitchen area, and I thought that was, I was like, huh, I would really like something like that to happen to me. I mean, that would be cool. Something that was an entirely different room somehow gets to the stairs and rolls all the way down. Oh, man,
yeah. I'd probably pee myself.
This is something about that room.
Well, what I'd want to know is who keeps putting the balls back up the fucking stairs.
Yeah, I mean, there's the little keepers and... I guess they can call them the host, or
yeah.
I don't know what the correct terminology is for it, but yeah, they put everything back in place. They put everything back in the rooms and all that stuff. And when other investigators come, of course, they always move stuff around and try their own stuff. So
right.
No telling.
Do you have any locations that you're looking forward to?
You took my question.
Sorry. Shibby's question was, are there any locations that you're looking forward to attending or getting to mm-hmm. do investigations?
The Conjuring House is a big one. I know for Alex, he keeps having dreams about that one. Mm-hmm. And he says that every time he has a dream about it, he can see me, him, and he said there's one or two people. He's like, he feels like he knows them, but he doesn't see their face.
Yeah.
So it's just like some random person's with us. So I don't know who that is. If it's you, if it's Fletcher, I know you guys are really excited to go to the Conjuring House and stuff. So
that's gonna be
maybe it's you. He's having these dreams about. Mine's been about the Sally House. I keep having like dreams about the Sally House. So I'm wondering if maybe I need to go there and something interesting will happen there. And maybe when we go to the Conjuring House, something interesting to him will happen there. Yeah. So maybe we got a message waiting for us from when we get there.
That I'll make sure I create a will.
Oh, you'll be signing some paperwork when you get there. Every place has a waiver.
Yeah.
You know, in case you get hurt.
Where is the Conjuring House located again?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's very north. Yeah,
it's not too far from Salem, right? Which
no,
is
not
in
too far.
Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, when they take the Salem trip, they'll also take the trip over to Conjuring House.
I think that's his plan, too, is to take his wife up to Salem and spend a week there. And then he's like, the last day, we should go to the Conjuring House. I'm like... If we can book it, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll definitely make the trip. So it'll be sometime next year, hopefully, if we can get on the calendar there. But if not, we'll look for some other big ones. I know Pennhurst is another big one.
My friend actually did Pennhurst because he started getting into doing ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if he recorded video footage. I'll have to check.
Yeah.
And let you know what he experienced.
That's awesome.
Well, before I ask other things, Chibi and Brad, did you guys have things y'all wanted to ask?
No, that was going to be my question. Like, what were some of your next things that you wanted? So it's okay. Jack asked for me. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know how related this is, but so my wife cares nothing about anything horror related. She is not into the paranormal. However, anytime we go anywhere, she's like, we have to do the ghost tour, right? So when we went to Asheville year before last, right, we did is apparently one of the most haunted places, or at least that's what the tour guy said, right? I'm sure everyone has that notion. But
that sounds like St.
Augustine. San Antonio says the same thing.
Right, so I guess what's your thought on like the advertisement of those tours? Like, is it a good thing to just I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Like
trying to
advertising
think of the right to word
it. Like almost like promoting it.
So you're saying like
almost
you
like
know,
a commercialization of it.
Oh, yeah. I see.
How do I feel about them commercializing that?
Yeah, like it's just like a, it's just that it's almost like an a like a an amusement ride or something, right? It's just mm-hmm. like I'm gonna say I guess you believe a lot of the stories that you know that they tell, or you know, yeah, and that they're telling the right stories,
right? And I do a lot of fact checking with that too when I go on, and I don't usually do the ghost tours. I usually try to get a private investigation, mm-hmm. and then I do all of the history my own. And like we'll do a bunch of research, we'll look up any stories that we can, and try to fact check everything. And then when we go there, we'll usually have a guide start to tell us stories, and we'll see, you know, if they match up when they're going with that kind of stuff, because there could be some places that kind of stretch the truth a little bit or add a few little details in there to make the story a little juicier, and that's fine, because I do know that some people try to run this as a business, and it can be hard trying to run a business, but I, you know, like I said, when I post a video or something, I'm going to try to keep it as factual as possible. I want to keep it 100% true to the history and true to the lore. So if they want to do that on their own, that's fine. But you know, they got their way of doing things, and we have ours. But I don't mind them advertising it. A lot of people do enjoy, you know, a little scare here and there, and just to hear the history alone. You know, I'm kind of a nerd with that stuff, learning about the history of these locations. Especially, oh, yeah. Is she a true crime fan? Does she watch the true crime documentaries and stuff too? Or
I don't. Not religiously. I'm not gonna say she doesn't. Yeah. She reads a lot of fantasy stuff. I don't know. Okay. She does like documentaries and things.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if she like watches, like listens to all the podcasts and all that stuff.
Yeah, because I've noticed a lot of that. A lot of people are into that kind of stuff. Either the true crime, or they want to know the history of some haunted location or things like that. So those can be a lot of fun. Now they're not any less dangerous than, you know, if you were to do an investigation and stuff. Because I mean, you're still going to the location, you're still walking around. At Villisca, they have pictures of people who've been scratched on just ghost tours alone, and things like that just happens at different locations, so it really varies. But yeah, it's all the same to me. It's just I don't have to worry about anybody tampering with evidence if I do a private investigation, or you know, another group of people Scooby-Dooing around.
Right.
So,
have you ever had, speaking of scratches, have you ever had physical harm?
I've been scratched one time, and I was at home and I was reviewing something for Lent Mansion, and I just felt like something really hot on the back of my neck. And I know I don't have any nails, because I have a really bad habit of, you know, just ripping them off, yeah, just from nervous habit, I guess. But yeah, I just felt like it really hot on my neck, and I didn't want to touch it because I didn't want, you know, to fake myself out and say I did that. So I just waited and waited and waited, and I just like just took a picture with my phone, and sure enough, I had some scratch marks down my neck, and I was like, that's so weird, because I didn't feel anything. Like, I didn't feel like anybody touched
right.
me.
Right.
I just felt like a little burning sensation, like if you ever get sweat in a cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It kind of burns like that. It started stinging like that, so I was like, I tensed up, and then I just took a picture, and I just, all of a sudden, there was these red marks that came on my neck. So, and that was the only time I've ever been scratched. But who knows? I mean, I still think that I probably could have did it. I don't know. I just don't have the nails to do that.
Yeah, I get
so
it.
I wasn't sure how it would have been to me.
Okay.
That would have freaked me the fuck
yeah,
out.
I would.
Yeah, it made me nervous. I had all my equipment out for like the entire night, just waiting for stuff to happen. I had like a camera on. I'm like waiting to see what happens now. But now they left me alone, I guess, after that.
Yeah. Let me see. What are your thoughts on mediums?
Mediums. I would really like to work with one day, just to see not only what I can do alongside of them, just because I'm starting to notice this new stuff about myself and what we're actually able to do as human beings. And I don't know if this is something that's strictly for, you know, just myself, or if other people can do certain things. Like Cody and Satori can hold hands, and you can just hear footsteps. You can hear the spirits walk up to you. And that was just so interesting to me, because it's like, what else can other people do? You know, mediums can either see things or hear things, or, you know, just whatever their clair is. But it was just so interesting. I would like to work with one day. Some of them seem like they're pretty accurate. I've seen some of them just call some things out that they probably shouldn't know or wouldn't have known. And they were able to just kind of pull that out of the air and without having any prior history or knowledge of the place. And I found that pretty interesting. So I'd like to work with one just to kind of see for myself. Again, you know, I'm one of those people that likes to do things and see for themselves before I just go speaking about it like I'm an expert, you know.
Right. No, that'd be pretty cool. Now, are they easy to find? Is there like a community? I'm sure there is, but is it easy to find the community of paranormal investigators and mediums and stuff like that?
I mean, you're told not to go looking for them, I kind of want to. I kind of want to just to see what kind of evidence they can come up with just on their own, just using natural abilities.
Yeah.
And I think we could even, you know, weed some of them out that might not be as truthful as they say they are, or you know, one of those things. But like, if multiple people are you know, vouching for this same person, you know, I'd like to know if they are capable of going to a location with me and just sit there and pan everything out for me and let me know if there's someone there or somebody wants to give us a message of some sort. It'd be interesting to see what they come up with.
Yeah. That's interesting. But, so why do people say not to look for them?
I think it was more on like a religious standpoint where they tell you not to go looking for mediums to talk to spirits and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I've heard that a few times, but you know,
it's because if you need one, they'll find you.
Yeah, hey, maybe that is it.
This guy.
Yeah, you're getting an email tomorrow.
We're manifesting the court.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Or maybe it's something that maybe it's the belief of like when you open that side of things up, you potentially welcome some kind of energy that you don't want.
Yeah, and you never know. Whenever you play with some of this equipment, even when just going somewhere, I feel like you can really open up a portal anywhere. If you have two mirrors in your house facing each other, you can open up a portal that way too.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And it just varies on different things. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Just try to don't dabble in stuff you're not familiar with. Yeah. I'll say that. You know, do your research.
Oh, absolutely. So I didn't ask this earlier when you brought out your equipment. What's your favorite equipment to use?
That is a tough one because they're all serve like their own purpose. I do like the EMF reader. It's pretty accurate when it comes to a lot of things, but you have to be careful with your cell phone around these because some cell phones do emit a lot of EMF. I will say Alex's phone, even for him just to turn the screen on, will set this thing off. Yes. So you need to either put it in airplane mode or turn it off completely to where it's not sending out a signal, because that will start messing with your devices and stuff. So if you have like a Faraday pouch or anything like that where it keeps that away from the devices, that would be the way to go. But
that makes sense.
I do like the REM pod too. The REM pod is really awesome, but I've caught so many EVPs on this thing, it's not even funny. It's scary. It's scary how voices can pick that up, because we had that in the attic and it still picked that same voice up that we caught on the trail camera downstairs. So I have an audio clip from the trail camera and I have an audio clip from this 360 device. So if there was any audio experts out there that would like to just review the audio clip itself and see that it's not tampered with, that's not my voice. That's not Alex's voice. We were all almost outside the door, though we had walked out of that room. And that's when that voice said that it liked me on there. And then at Beatty Mansion, James asked a question, like, are you the woman I spoke with downstairs? Because he kept getting a lot of responses whenever he would bring the EMF down there. And he would ask a question and get a spike on that. But, yeah, we heard a woman's voice on there. And it's just three of us guys in this entire house. But you can clear as day hear this woman on three different devices The camera, the voice recorder, and then we had a GoPro all the way down at the end of the hall that still caught a little clip of that voice too. So it's really hard to debunk that when you have it on three different, devices. The voice at Villisca we had on two different devices. So that's another way that I try to fact check our evidence and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love these devices. These are my go-tos for the main part.
That's cool. It's so when you come across events, you often try to find a reason behind it first.
Yeah. So if something starts happening, we try looking around. We'll try, like I said, if we start getting EMF, we'll see if there's like a nearby outlet, a nearby, anything else that could be emitting electricity or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, we want to try to do it with sensible knowledge and science. Logic. We don't want to just immediately jump to paranormal or anything like that. We want to go through our checklist of things. And if we still can't figure it out by the end of that, then we'll chalk it up. Maybe it's paranormal and we'll go on. But yeah, we have our little checklist of things we go through.
Yeah. Speaking of equipment, Do you have a wish list of items that you'd like to upgrade to bring to your your future investigations?
So I have a little wish list with Ghost Top right now. There's an Ovilus, and the Ovilus is pretty popular. A lot of people use that and stuff. There is a DR60 voice recorder that it seems like every, big paranormal investigator has. Zach Baggage uses it all the time. It's that little old silver recorder that he uses, and the voice always sounds like it's all gargly. But yeah, that almost always gets a response from it. I don't know what it is about the microphone in that thing, but it almost always captures a voice when they do EVP sessions.
Right.
So that's another one. And then there's something called an Envoy. Okay. That one has a couple of different modes. One of them has like different moods and stuff. And it has like a yes and no mode. And then it goes through the entire alphabet where they can actually type words and phrases out to you if they want to and tamper with it that way. So that's something else I think might be interesting to have on the channel as well.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you not use a Ouija board?
Oh God!
It's like I'm with me at all times.
I'm gonna bring a magic 8-ball.
We have not used one of those. I'll say yet because there's no telling if we end up and we want to just get that deep into it. But I don't know. I know. Alex's wife is very adamant about him not bringing anything home, so we were holding off on the Ouija board for a little bit.
Yeah. Are there I'm glad you mentioned that. Are there things that a person could do that would cause something to follow?
I would say taunting it.
Probably disrespect.
Yeah. So like when I go somewhere, I try to be very respectful until we're disrespected, and then you just kind of hold your ground there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go in there just purposely taunting anything, especially when you're, and if you think about it, you go to the prison and you're some little guy and you're trying to taunt all these big guys who are murderers. They're not scared of you.
No.
You're not scared of anybody. No. You can dress up like an officer. And I remember they told us some guy was running down there with a billy club hitting all the cell doors and all that. Gosh. I'm like, you're not going to scare them with that. Yeah. That's not going to do anything. But like I said before, when they used to be people too. So if you tell them, hey, you can't follow me, you can't do this, you can't do any of that. You basically getting all controlling on them. They're going to say, well, look, you're not in control of me. I can do whatever I want.
Right.
If I want to follow you, I'll just do it. But none of them have, I guess, had a reason to follow any of us, and we're not disrespectful enough to where anything would want to follow us. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. Another experiment,
Yeah. Right. Chat. Did you guys have any questions you wanted to add? Chibi, Brad, do you guys have other questions?
So in the ghost hunting, I don't know, profession or hobby, I'm not sure, but are there like specializations? Like, you know, when like a robber heist is going on, right? They have like the demolition man that like mm-hmm. carries the explosives, and like there's a, you know, they have like the lockpick man that, you know, does all the technical stuff, and you have like the hacker, right? So it's like when you go as a team, like, is that kind of the mentality? Like everyone has their specific role that they play, or they're special? Is it like, you know, I am really good with this tool, or, you know, I'm lucky with this tool.
Yeah, so we have had that where, like, you know, if you're lucky with something and we've captured something on a device before, we'll try it again and experiment and see if, you know, if it was you, that device, or if it was just the location just wanting to communicate. But for the most part, I try to keep my guys rotating and trying different things so that they can get good at everything. And that way we're just a better team when it comes to somebody doing different things, because I don't know, we might have, you know, 4, 5, 6 people one time, and it's good to have 2, 3 guys that know how to do everything. And if they branch off and we split up into groups and stuff and do things like that, it's good that they know everything. But we pretty much all know how to do everything, how to use all the devices and everything. I teach everybody everything. So we don't have specific roles, to answer your question.
Chat, any questions? Try not to laugh at the conversation they're having.
Yeah, I know.
So one comment was, I have to say, Tadpole said, because you mentioned, you know, don't be controlling. Mm-hmm. Oh, this idiot, he said, what if it's a sub ghost?
Fuck up, I just realized.
Man, can you imagine, like, it's just like you end up in a house that was all into BDSM or something like that. No, I don't know, maybe that wouldn't be as scary as the Conjuring house then.
No. and we really don't get too scared anymore, I guess.
Well, when you start doing it over, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you still get really nervous. You're still, I don't want to say you don't get scared. I guess we're better at masking it now than, you know, because we're still scared shitless in there. I'm not lying to you, man. I mean, it is, there's times where, you know, you hear stuff and you can't see it, or, like I said, I still got to review some more of that footage and stuff to see if what all happened at the prison, but there was a few things that we heard that did not sound nice. And, yeah, you could kind of tell in our voices, not really our faces, but our voices. Right. You could tell we were nervous.
Right. Oh, I bet. See, I have anxiety just in general. Mm-hmm. So me, whenever I join y'all for one, I'm probably going to be a fucking mess.
It'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's
it'll be a lot of fun.
If I can, if it's allowed, live streaming, and if I can find a way to do it without losing signal or anything like that, I think I would maybe like attach a GoPro to my face.
Yeah.
I was gonna say maybe like a pocket
looking at your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your reaction.
Yeah. We'd have to try it. We'd have to, you know, do a little EMF check to see if it's gonna emit anything while we're doing the live stream too.
Yeah.
To the phone, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's sending signals out, right? A lot to do that. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that would set that off.
You're just gonna have to record it.
I know the Conjuring House, they seem to have had a lot of cameras and stuff. I did see that in the Sam and Colby episode. I kind of scout all that stuff too when I watch these videos, you know, if they have security cameras or whatever, anything that might tamper with any kind of evidence, you know, try to throw that in there as well as being a logical explanation for some things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, where can everyone go see your work?
We are Paranormal Anomaly on YouTube, TikTok. If you're on the YouTube channel, I have a list of all of the social medias, Facebook, everything's on there. So you just click the link and follow us on there. I'm not sure where we're going to go just yet. We just got back from the Missouri State Penitentiary. We have Malvern Manor coming out soon. That was up in Iowa. That was our 2-day vacation we took up there. We went to Villisca and Malvern, so both of those were really good. So I can't wait to get that one done because that's a rough one to edit, that one.
Yeah.
But I think the prison one's going to be a lot smoother, and then the episodes there on out are going to be a lot smoother as well. So
yeah,
we'll keep you updated, and if you end up coming down here, maybe we'll find somewhere in, Alabama or something.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure the South is full of haunted shit.
Mm-hmm. Do not get started.
Yeah, San Antonio. Yeah. Like when I was out in San Antonio, I feel like everything I heard about San Antonio was just like a haunted ass town.
You should go to Savannah. Place.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Savannah.
I've heard Savannah. Insane.
Yeah.
I have a couple friends there in Savannah right now that are begging me to come there and take them a couple places.
The vibes I got were weird for sure.
Really? Yeah, and that is known to be a very haunted city, Savannah. But there is a place in Texas called the Hill House, and I don't know what part of Texas, but it is. They have, I think, over like 300 and something reports of people being either scratched, bitten, burned. I've seen on the security camera, one girl was using provocation and it yanked her out of the bed.
Oh.
Like she had her foot just sitting there. You can see both feet, and it's just her and this guy in the room, and all of a sudden she's off the bed. And I was like, wow. She went back for a second time, like I guess a year later. And I guess it recognized her, scratched her down her back, and she was bleeding through her shirt.
And
they checked the bed. They checked everything behind her to see if something scratched, like if she fell on something or a nail or something cut her.
Not like her.
Nope.
So you said she did a provocation? Yeah. What exactly is that?
So just like taunting it, just saying, I don't think you're here, you have no power over me or something.
I feel like if you want to, you want to test spirits just, like that, you know, you about to find out.
Yeah, they fuck around and find out. Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's whenever I get the chance to do something like this and experience it, fucking around is not one thing I'm gonna be doing.
Be nice to the ghosties.
We'll do something fun.
Yeah,
we'll have something fun. I'll have something special just for you, Jack.
I appreciate that.
I'm ready for the video.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be, if anything, for the reactions.
The content.
Love the reactions.
Yes.
I could just hear Jack. Oh shit.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of that, probably.
Yeah.
Whatever you see from me during the horror games that I play is probably what you'll get out of me during a ghost hunt.
Good. I love that. we'll do that.
Hell yeah. Well, everybody out there, please support, Corey and his team. Go follow all the pages, all the social medias, watch all the videos.
Yes, I'm about to.
Like and subscribe those videos. And do some fact checking and learn up on it, and maybe give it a try yourself. Don't be
the best way to do it.
Yeah, don't speculate too much.
Like I'm ready.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go as a team.
Pixelated thoughts.
Yeah, there pixelated thoughts ghost hunt.
There you go.
It's gonna be led by Corey.
We'll bring you all down here.
God.
You guys can choose the location.
I'd pee my.
I mean, if we're going to do it as a team, I'd want to.
I don't like that laugh. I don't like that laugh. That's an evil.
I'd want to go hard and just fucking go to a Hill House. Fuck it. Let's go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me get some time off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice little drive down to Texas.
Yeah.
You ready, Brad?
Go? I mean, at some point, we'll all be. Yeah. No, I'd be down to do that one if you guys go, I go.
If we can convince Brad and Ken, I would 100% go.
Yeah. Brad, you.
He's cooking.
Yeah. We'll let that brew for a little bit.
Yeah.
As long as I get to carry my 8-foot cross with me, yeah, we'll be good.
Ken will bring holy water. You'll bring the cross. I don't know what the hell I'd bring. Well, I'd bring lumpia. Maybe they'll be hungry.
Just you just get the EMF all like, around you.
What if they're just hungry? You know, I'm mad when I'm hungry. So
get them some Snicker bars.
There you go.
All right.
You know what's funny about that? Now that you say that, we have been told that in some places, like if you leave candy, like sugar, sweets, something like that, sometimes you get a better reaction.
No and shit.
I was very shocked to hear that. Yeah. What an odd thing for like, okay, you guys like sugar. That's weird. I like sugar. Maybe I'm a ghost. I don't know.
Don't ask questions if I bring a backpack full of candy.
It's like Halloween. Just give them out.
Yeah.
Well, tricks here, just treats.
Yeah. Well, one of my guys is a diabetic, so he's always got like a Jolly Rancher or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, just having a mom with you, you know, just got the snacks on deck, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've never heard that.
That was the first time I've ever heard that. Yeah. They said candy sometimes gets a good reaction or some kind of offering, you know, like
if
they were smoking a cigarette, something like that.
It would be me as a ghost.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you brought me candy? I'll perform. I'm ready.
You know what? All right. That brings up a good question, Brad. Now, after passing, right, where would you want to haunt? What would you want to haunt? How would you haunt? Would you be an asshole? I feel like you would be the type
I would be like a trickster. I would just be like, I would tap on the shoulder, but then, you know, I would show myself when they're not looking, like the other way.
There's ghosts like you already. Yeah. There's ghosts like you already. They like to play the cat and mouse and they mess with you. They'll tap down here and then they'll tap down here or do something just to deter you or mess with you.
Man.
I feel like I'd be like that too. Like, I'm not even a big trickster, but I feel like, I don't know. What else you got to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's a lot of our circle of friends. I feel like that's our go-to is just to fuck with people.
But if anyone asked me a question, my only response would be your mom.
Can you imagine that coming over the spirit box? What's your name?
Yeah.
Your mom.
We get told to F off sometimes. So, I mean, there's times where they're just like, nope, F off. Like, I'm not going to talk to you.
Fuck, I would. I don't know if I would be scared or if I would lose my shit. If like, I heard, like, a no you. Come across the spirit box or something.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
You. Mm-hmm.
Fight me.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Hands. Yeah, no thanks. I'm all right.
Yeah, that. Yeah. That, nah. Nope. Man. All right. Any other questions? Cool. Corey, do you want to shout anybody out? I'll give you the floor.
Shout out to you guys for having me on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Awesome.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, we'll have to have a follow up, especially after I do do one with y'all.
Little debriefing, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
always good.
Oh yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time to sit down with us and share your knowledge and you know, the tools you use. Where have you been? What you have planned.
Happy to be here, man. It was exciting to get to talk to other people about this too, you know, not just other paranormal investigators when I go to these different locations, but to actually broadcast this to other people.
So, oh yeah, it's a good way to get the word out there, man.
Yeah,
I definitely feel more educated too, you know, which is like, it's nice because it's like hard to actually talk to people who like legitimately do it, you know, and are passionate about it, so it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again. Appreciate you. Right, thanks, everybody out there watching, whether you're watching right now or you're watching later. Thank you so much. Our next episode is going to be Down the Rabbit Hole on Chibi Stream. So make sure you guys are there for that next week, Tuesday.
Frerin.
Say that word again.
Frerin.
Frerin.
Okay. Frerin.
Yeah, I did start watching that.
Brad, you better watch it.
It's not my type of...
Yeah, it's more slow.
Yeah, it's not dark. It's not
sad.
It's sad.
It's melancholy.
But I like a little bit of darkness and horror added to my anime. I think that's why I enjoy fucking Demon Slayer, JJK, Chainsaw Man.
Yep.
All those, if they align with those, oh, Death Note. That's, I mean, Ken says I'm emo. So
I was gonna say you're, it's okay. You're an emo son.
Yeah, I'm just, I just don't dress it. That's all.
As we're repping all black over here.
Can you imagine me with like a little comb over and
I wish you were a scene kid back wearing, in the day.
Wearing
even,
like,
don't even lie.
Wearing guyliner and mascara.
Oh my god.
And some black fingernails with the fishnet half gloves.
Oh my god.
the chain pants, like the chain pants. Yeah.
Chain wallet.
Just always like always moving my head like this to get the hair out of my eyeball.
Yeah, one highlight strip in the hair.
Doing the hot hair swoop.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, I like sadness. Man. All right, we've tried to say bye like five times now.
It's always hard.
It is. All right, thanks again, Corey. Thanks again, everybody. Yep. Until next time, y'all take care. Good night. Bye-bye.